Union who will speak to us at this time.
Mr. President, I move the adoption of the report of Women's Missionary Union as printed in the Book of Reports.
Is there a second? Second. Motion is made and seconded that the report of the Women's Missionary Union be adopted. Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary, no. It is so ordered.
Ms. Martin.
The year 1888 planted a milestone in the course which Southern Baptist women had set themselves to follow. 12 years before, the Southern Baptist Convention had recommended that a committee of women be appointed in each state to encourage and direct the unrelated missionary activities of the women. Because of inherited ideas of woman's place, the denomination had been depriving itself of services that women were especially adapted to render, but a potentiality was now released. Through their own organization, the women, liberated from hampering restrictions, could work according to their own genius. When the word auxiliary was written into that constitution in 1888, it was by no means unimportant. It indicated the real purpose of this new organization to be a helper, an assistant, a supporter of the work of the convention. In declaring itself auxiliary, it recognized itself as an integral part of the Southern Baptist Convention. It committed itself to the task of stimulating the missionary spirit and the grace of giving among the women and young people of our churches. Through the years, the story of Women's Missionary Union as auxiliary has been one of missionary advance. Our 1954 report reveals that our union has excelled any year's record in all phases of the work. We are deeply humbled when we recognize and realize how greatly the Lord has blessed our efforts. Back of all achievements lie certain procedures that account for the results. Let us note some of these. In the plan of God, the growth and the early religious training of people belong together. What God has put together, let no one without great loss put asunder. Doubtless many in church life have accepted that principle, but it remained for the women to fully implement the theory. In the woodlands are trees, tall and stately, grown to maturity. In the same area are the tender super plants, the undergrowth. These in time will be the forest. Young people are these tender plants, and upon them, Women's Missionary Union has placed its motherly training and nurturing hands. We have authority from the scriptures. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And minds of keen insight echo the scriptures. As a twig is bent, so the tree is inclined, is Pope's conviction. And Wordsworth's epigram, the child is father to the man, points to that same moral. When Lady Astor was in this country, she said, "We women can do anything we wish with the men if we begin with them when they are children." The women believe the scriptures. They approve Pope's simile, and they accept Wordsworth's epigram. They adopt the policy of Lady Astor. Ever since the Sunbeams were entrusted to our care by the Foreign Mission Board, we have been alert to the missionary education of the young people. We hear much today about the overlapping of our church organizations. We would remind you that the last organization that Women's Missionary Union created was the Girls Auxiliary, and that was born 41 years ago. From the early years, it has been the purpose of the union to give the missionary vision to our young people and to help make missionaries. Where are missionaries made anyway? Some say in the colleges, some say in the universities, some say in the seminaries. But you and I know that they are made back in the home and in the home church. And Women's Missionary Union has tried to give them there, in their early lives, the missionary vision. It was always the joy of the pioneer Sunbeam leader in the Valley of Virginia to remember that Dewey Moore, our ambassador to Italy, heard the call to give his life to missionary work while in the old Salem Church Sunbeam Band, the first Sunbeam Band in all the world. Listen to the testimonies of the mission volunteers as they come up for appointment. The large majority say that it was in one of these missionary organizations back in the home church that they felt the call of God. You voted in your last convention that a committee study the advisability of the transfer of a royal ambassador work to Brotherhood sponsorship. Today, we entrusted to you the best, the costliest organization that we had, our royal ambassadors. After 46 years of patient nursing and tender nurturing, we placed in your hands today a precious gem, the finest church organization for boys known around the encircling globe. You may be assured that our interest, our prayers, our very hearts go with this priceless gift. God is continuing to bless our efforts at the Carver School of Missions and Social Work. From the doors of this school, thousands of young women have gone to bless humanity here and overseas. We feel that we are at the beginning of a new day for this school. You were gracious enough to vote in your Miami convention to give us the necessary capital funds to enlarge our building to meet the needs of this new day. We requested in that year, 1952, an increase of 0.5% for our operating budget. That request has been denied up to this good hour. We are frank to say we do not understand it, but we are praying that God will lead us in the right way to secure the necessary support for our school. Women's Missionary Union accepts the scriptural doctrine of stewardship, tithes and offerings. We have tried consistently to keep faith with the business and financial plan of the convention. We have tried to keep faith with the cooperative program and the special offerings for home and foreign missions as authorized by the convention. Born because there seemed to be no other way to take the redeeming message of love to China, our special offerings have kept faith with our workers around the world for 66 years. That first Christmas offering set before the Baptist Women of the South a vision in missionary work, and thus laid a cornerstone in that structure we know as Women's Missionary Union. The first home mission offering of $5,000 was used to help lift the debt on the Home Mission Board. These offerings have grown beyond our dreams. In spite of this fact, we realize that these offerings are today greatly endangered. In some places, they are being included in the church budget. When so done, they are ceased to be special and become a mere budget item. When they are written in the budget and paid on the same basis as other budget items, one of the most vital purposes that the convention had in approving them is immediately defeated. Advance in home and foreign missions depends heavily on these offerings. These offerings may be called the Good Samaritans whatsoever more. Women's Missionary Union sounds a call to prayer. And after the women have prayed, they say to Southern Baptist innkeepers, "And whatsoever more you spend, we will repay." Thus, missionaries have been returned to their fields. New missionaries have been sent to fill the ranks. Equipment has been sent, and debts have been lifted. And still, Women's Missionary Union kneels to pray and rises to face the sunrise of the kingdom in new fields with calmness and with Christian determination. And whatsoever more, she assures the boards and the missionaries, we will repay. The greatest power of Women's Missionary Union is not in the missionary education which it strives to implant, nor in the training and making of missionaries. Its greatest force will not be found in the large sums of money which we inspire. The most important contribution that the Union has to make to the life of our denomination is its spiritual impact. Not human might nor human power, but the grace of God in answer to prayer. Prayer has ever been central and primary in the work of Women's Missionary Union. In our plan of work, it is the very first fundamental. Impelled by the command and inspired by the example and assured by the words of Jesus, the Union has made known its wishes. In order to be definite, the Union formulates a regular program of prayer for its members. Prayer must be both individual and united. In order that prayer may be constant and direct, the program designates places, times, objects, and weeks. Take just one activity and its spiritual value. Down through the years, Women's Missionary Union has placed in the hands of its members the missionary calendar of prayer. If the Union did in 1 year no more than place this in the hands of more than 1 million Southern Baptist women, our efforts would not be in vain. And would not the local church feel the thrill? Would not there be a stirring of missionary zeal? We are convinced that our auxiliary relationship with the denomination is largely responsible for much that we have been able to achieve. No new defining of the word auxiliary is necessary. We do not want to be independent as are the women's denominational works today and as they have been in all denominations throughout all the years. We do not want to administrate affairs. We do not even want to spend the monies that we give. But we do want to help in all the work. We would like to participate in the democratic procedures of the convention of which we are a part. I looked over your program this morning with a long list of committees just to see how many women were represented on that list of committees. The cause of world missions commands our devotion today as it has never done before. And the years of study we have made with the knowledge of mission triumphs add to the obligation and to the responsibility. It is our deep conviction that you need us at this time as you have never needed us before. So rapidly is our total work going towards centralization that it is good to have at least one autonomous group standing by to help. What is our part as an auxiliary? Much of our noble mission is symbolized in the words carved on the base of a colossal woman standing in the New York Harbor, the Statue of Liberty. As this mighty woman lifts there her torch of flame, lighting the way to a new life, with silent lips she cries, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my hand by the golden door. So, with the torch of Christianity held high, Women's Missionary Union stands by your side, helping to lift humanity to its created destiny, the glory of God.
We are grateful to Mrs. Martin for that very, very splendid address, and she did not use the time, brethren. I think we ought to recognize Miss Alma Hunt, the Executive Secretary of the Women's Missionary Union. Miss Hunt?
You dropped your glove, that's awful.
We're so happy to have these dear friends of every good cause of Christ here with us tonight. We've greatly benefited by their work in years gone by and shall always, because as Mrs. Martin has said, they stand by our side in every way. We come now to the next item on our agenda, and that is the Baptist Brotherhood by Brother George Schroeder, its Executive Secretary, Brother Schroeder of Tennessee.
Mr. President.
Brother Schroeder.
Mr. President, the report of the Brotherhood Commission is found in the Book of Reports, pages 275 through pages 284. In that there are no items in that report that will cause this convention to make any commitments whatsoever, I move its adoption as it is printed in that Book of Reports.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second? Motion is made and seconded that it be adopted. I think we shall have Brother Schroeder speak to it, and at the conclusion of his presentation, then the vote will be taken upon it.
While I have this opportunity at the very beginning of these few brief remarks of mine tonight, may I reply to Mrs. Martin in the reference that she has made to the gift to this convention of one of the choice organizations of Women's Missionary Union, namely Royal Ambassadors. The Brotherhood Commission here and now pledges to this convention we will give our best to the development and the promotion of a program of work among our boys that will instill in their hearts a great, deep missionary spirit and a love of the work of Christ as it reaches around this world. We are sure that we'll have your prayers as we labor to that end in the years to come. Certainly it is a happy occasion that I have tonight and privilege to come to this convention and to present to this body of Baptists the stewardship of your Brotherhood Commission for the past year. Of all the organizations numbered among Southern Baptists, perhaps the Brotherhood has reason to be the most thankful of them all, because God has truly been good to us during these past 12 months. The report that we have submitted to you in the Book of Reports is one of the finest that we have ever been able to present. And as you read it, as you analyze its various features, I'm sure that you will agree with us that God has been good in the work among our men. As you study that report, you will reveal that from the records of our statistician, we found that last year, 28,432 new men were enrolled in the Brotherhoods across the Southern Baptist Convention. And during this 12-month period, there were 986 new church brotherhoods that came into existence. Those figures reveal the fact that there was a 13.3% gain in the number of new men enrolled in brotherhoods during 1953. I contend tonight, and I'm sure that you will concur, that any business that can show a 13% gain in that which it's doing in one 12-month period is moving at a rapid pace in its advance. And that's exactly what's happened in our Brotherhood work during the past year. To break those figures down just a little bit, the number of new men who were enrolled and the number of organizations that were established during 1953, by breaking them down, we might perhaps get a better picture of what is happening among the men of our churches across the convention. If we would figure on the average of what happened in Southern Baptist life among our men on a weekly basis during 1953, this is the picture that we would see. That for every week that went by in 1953, we saw 18 new church brotherhoods come into existence. And for every week that went by, we saw 550 new men enrolled in brotherhoods somewhere in the Southern Baptist Convention. As I stand to speak to you tonight, we are happy to report that we now have in the Southern Baptist Convention over 8,000 churches with brotherhoods with a total membership of over 250,000 men. Truly, it's a great army of men that God has placed at our disposal in and through our thousands of brotherhoods in the churches across the convention. And again, I repeat that if there's one organization among Southern Baptists that should give thanks to God for the blessings that He's bestowed upon it, it's the brotherhood movement in our church life. Truly, God has been good, and we're deeply conscious of it. But what gains we have seen in the number of new organizations and the number of new men enrolled, we've seen like records established where literature is concerned. And I don't want to take time tonight to break down an analysis of what is happening in the distribution of literature in our brotherhood offices in Memphis, but just let me say that the Brotherhood Journal, which is the major publication of our commission, has now reached the place that we have an average quarterly circulation of over 90,000 copies. That means that each quarter we're able to get to the hundreds of thousands of our men through this major publication a message dealing with the place that they should be filling in the life of their churches and denomination. Yet when we look back at the past year and the marvelous gains that we have made, we're not satisfied. We're not interested tonight in trying to recite past history where the work of our men is concerned, but we're deeply concerned tonight in the days immediately ahead about making new history for Jesus Christ among the men of our thousands of churches across the Southern Baptist Convention. I've said repeatedly as I've traveled across the various states that one of the greatest challenges with which Southern Baptists are faced at this very moment is that challenge of enlisting the potential power that's wrapped up in the lives and talents and the abilities of the men that Jesus has saved and placed on our church rolls. What would happen in your church? What would happen in my church if all the men who are named by the name of Christ would really do their part in pulling their share of the load of their church for the master? You know as well as I what would happen. There'd be no task too large for your church or my church to try to accomplish for Jesus. And there'd be no task too large for Southern Baptists to try to accomplish for Jesus if our men could catch step with the cause of Christ as it's promoted by Southern Baptists around this world. To that end, to the end that we might enlist the men
to fall in step in a program like that is the sole purpose and the sole work of your Brotherhood Commission. But tonight, as we consider the report of advance as it has been submitted to you in the Book of Reports from the Brotherhood Commission, let's ask ourselves this one question, and let's ask it of ourselves sincerely, and let's ask it deeply tonight. Why is God moving like he is among the men of our churches? Truly, truly, God has something big in store for them. And it's our task, and it's our obligation, and it's our responsibility as leaders in our churches to somehow, some way, coordinate the work of our men in our churches that we might truly make their efforts count for Jesus Christ. What a glorious task we have of working to the end that we might use this instrument that God has placed in our hands. And I say tonight with all the humility that this deacon and this layman can say it, that we need to very candidly analyze our own lives tonight and ask ourselves a question. What am I doing to work at this task of utilizing this great instrument that God has placed in our midst? I believe from the very deeps of my heart tonight that we'll be held accountable for every good gift that God has placed in our churches. I believe that churches are just as much stewards as an individual is. And if God has entrusted us with a great instrument which is residing in our men, then we owe it to God to utilize that instrument in giving the message of Jesus to a lost world. Well, I could speak long tonight about the challenge of enlisting men for Christ, but I think you can see it with me. The Brotherhood has committed itself to labor in three great fields. The field of developing our men in their stewardship of the whole life and not just their money. Stewardship, evangelism, mission. They're the keynotes. They're the major facets of the Brotherhood Commission's work. If we can enlist the thousands, multiplied thousands of men on the church rolls to give their lives to stewardship of the message of Jesus and the advancement of the cause of Christ through missions and the evangelization of the homeland, we have enough to do to keep all of our men busy until Jesus comes again. But tonight, we want to give you just one little glimpse into one of the facets of the work of the Brotherhood Commission. For the first time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention, there will be a team of laymen visit one of our mission fields, and they will visit South America this fall. We are sending, or eight men rather, are paying their own way without any expense to the denomination at all to visit our mission fields in South America and there give their testimony for Christ and there glean experiences that they will come back to the States and speak at Brotherhood meetings all over this convention, telling our men of some of the needs and some of their experiences on the foreign mission field. It's one step in the direction of enlisting our men in giving the message of Jesus to a lost world. And tonight, we're asking Associate Secretary Sapp, who will represent our office in this tour into South America, to come and to present some of these laymen who are taking time out from their businesses and from their professions to represent Christ on the foreign mission field. I'll ask Brother Sapp to come now and take a few moments just to let you
become acquainted with these men who will make this tour this fall.
Thank you. The need for Southern Baptist laymen to become not only increasingly but constantly alert to the needs and the call and the claim of missions, both home and foreign, has prompted the organization of this trip to South America next September. You will be interested to know that we are not going as an organizational group to organize brotherhoods in South America, but we are going to observe firsthand and in most instances for the first time as laymen a foreign mission field. We are going to receive the resulting experience in such a way that we can return and be used in laymen's groups and in other church meetings to inspire and to alert men all over the Southern Baptist Convention to their role in the foreign mission enterprise of Southern Baptists. We're going to offer ourselves to, in any way that we can, to be of service while there to the missionaries and native pastors in these lands. And we're going to represent various professions which have not heretofore perhaps been present in such lands, to bring a Christian testimony from these different professions of men from the United States. It's my pleasure now to present to you five of these men who are present here with us tonight. They will come. The first one is Mr. Ted Hubler from Pinckneyville, Illinois, who is in the automobile sales and farm implements business in that small city in our neighboring state. Mr. Hubler. And the next one is Dr. K.J. O'Banion, who is in medicine in the city of California, Missouri. Dr. O'Banion. The next one is Mr. T. Gordon Ryan from the great state of Texas, who is in the insurance business. Mr. Vernon Shipp, a cattleman from the state of Arizona whose home is in Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Shipp.
Howdy, partner.
And the last one that I would present to you is Mr. Fred H. Wasson, who is in general merchandising in Carrier Mills, Illinois. Mr. Wasson. There are two other men who are not able to be with us tonight who will also make this tour. Mr. Homer Perdue, a transportation executive for the Kroger Company in Memphis, Tennessee, and Dr. W.J. Isbell, a veterinarian from Langdale, Alabama. We would request your prayers for this group as they tour in South America in September.
We want to take the closing moments of this presentation to link our brotherhood work very definitely with the Foreign Mission Board, especially as it relates to this tour, by asking Dr. Baker James Cawthon to come now and speak to us just for a few moments about from his heart as to what he believes this tour of laymen can mean to our mission work in South America.
Thank you, Brother Schroeder. I'm very happy to take a moment to say a word to the convention with regard to this tour now being implemented for Latin America. In recent years, we have had the privilege of seeing go to the mission field a number of groups of people from various parts of this convention. In the Orient, we have had two preaching missions that came to Japan. The first one in the year 1950, and the second one in 1951. On the first preaching mission, there were four men engaged. And on the second preaching mission, there were eight men engaged. We are, even as of this night, benefiting by the accomplishments of those two undertakings. We cannot measure what was done in terms simply of the number of people won to Christ in the immediate time those men were there. We would have to measure what was accomplished much more in terms of the encouragement, the broadening of vision, the lifting of ideals, and the arousing of hope. Maybe many of us present tonight would find it difficult to understand how it is that out on a mission field, people who are laying the foundations of Baptist work and find themselves small in number can hardly realize how great a thing the Southern Baptist Convention has come to be. For this kind of meeting we're having here tonight is almost impossible for them to visualize. But the coming of people from this land and sharing with them in such efforts is one means of broadening their vision and their concept. We find, therefore, that this particular visit that is being planned for Latin America is a very beneficial visit. There are several points that are very strong in favor of what this visit is going to be. For one thing, this visit of laymen to Latin America has the right purpose. These gentlemen are going to Latin America not simply as tourists. Now, there's nothing wrong in being a tourist. If one wishes to go and visit any land of his choice as a tourist, there are many facilities for that, and many people enjoy that kind of recreation. However, there is a vast difference between going as a tourist and going on the kind of venture that these men are undertaking. For as they go down to Latin America, as they relate themselves to missionaries and relate themselves to the national Christians, they will not have the attitude of tourists who come merely to enjoy and who may expect to pay for certain facilities and receive certain services, but they are going in the capacity of goodwill ambassadors and going to serve in the name of the Lord Jesus. Their purpose in going to Latin America is to share what they know about Jesus. Now, it doesn't matter whether one goes to the Orient or he goes to Latin America or he goes to some other area today, he finds the reception among national Christians very similar. National Christians everywhere are very glad for us to come and tell them what the Lord has done for us, what we've learned of grace in experience with Jesus, and what he has taught of us, taught to us, as we've tried to serve in his enterprise. They are not prepared on mission fields to wait as people merely to draw from the fountains of our wisdom. Far from that is realistic. For as Baptists develop around the world, they develop very much alike. That is, as independent, self-governing bodies of people. And there they plan their own programs and they project their own ideas of what they want to do. When therefore the Baptists, shall we say, of Brazil or Argentina or Japan or Nigeria would have come to them Baptists from this convention, they are very happy to hear what we have learned of the grace of God and what God has taught us about methods of evangelism, of stewardship, of growing Sunday schools, of training union, of women's work, of any line of service wherein we've received a blessing from the Lord. And then they, in turn, will take what we have to share with them, and they will seek God's guidance and implement whatever they feel they can implement in light of their own conditions and development. This point, we find, is very strong because this undertaking of a visit to Latin America is well planned. They have not embarked upon this trip without giving careful study to what they're going to do. Even tonight, these gentlemen met together in a briefing meeting, and they went over the whole idea of going to Latin America, and they arrived at the point of view of going there to serve and prepare themselves for this objective. Furthermore, it is strong because of the way it's being financed. Not $1 is coming from missions in order to finance this tour. Not $1 is being drawn from the cooperative program, but this money that is financing this tour comes from these gentlemen and reinforces all that we are undertaking. I must say, surely, when these men come back from Latin America, they will come back to give to their local churches and give to the Brotherhood organization that which their own observations will be able to contribute. May I pause to say, as the Brotherhood reaches out over the South,
in an ever-expanding ministry. If this great organization can be literally surcharged by a compassion for evangelism at home and abroad in a great world mission vision, only God knows what the Brotherhood is going to mean to Southern Baptists at home and to the ends of the earth. Brother Schroeder, we welcome these gentlemen to Latin America and pray God's blessings on them.
Thank you, Dr. Cawthon, for those gracious words, and thank you for those extra moments that you've given us on this program tonight.
Are you ready for the adoption of the report? Those in favor will please say aye. Contrary, no. It is so ordered. There is an announcement, I think, to be made.
Brother President. Am I there?
Your mic is.
I'll come out where I like. Call Homer G. Lindsay. Homer G. Lindsay of Jacksonville, Florida, please come to the platform. I have an announcement that is of vital interest to someone here, and I think of general concern also. Mrs. Charles G. Christie has lost some traveler's checks, and she may find them by identifying them at the lost and found counter, room MM on the 15th Street corridor. If you have lost anything or have found anything, please report it to that lost and found counter.
Thank you, Brother Burton. I know that's a very heartening announcement to somebody that the money has been found. We have a few moments, and I think we will try to utilize it, Brother Westmoreland, as a matter to bring to us, which is routine, which is necessary, and not too painful.
Today, you elected a new corps of officers to serve you during the ensuing year. Dr. James W. Stora, our beloved president, was reelected as president of this convention for a second term. And I would like to present at this time Dr. Stora and the corps of officers that you elected. I'll ask them to come and stand alongside here, giving the photographers an opportunity to get a picture. Dr. Stora, if you'll come first, I'd like to present you to the convention. And working... And associated with him is First Vice President Dr. Homer Lindsay of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Lindsay.
You stay up here, Dr. Stora. I want you to stay up here. They want to get your picture.
And as our Second Vice President, Dr. O.R. Shields, who has been the Chairman of the Committee on Local Arrangements from St. Louis, Missouri. Senior Secretary could not be here this evening. He had to return to Georgia, but today you elected Dr. James Merritt as Senior Secretary. The Recording Secretary is Dr. Joe W. Burton, who has been serving us in that capacity so efficiently. Dr. Burton. And our efficient Treasurer, Dr. Porter Ruth, was reelected for another term. Dr. Ruth.
Thank you so much for your patience with the subject matter. Picturesque, wasn't it?